It's spring, so we'll be talking about chickens.
Chickens.
Chickens happen now. Chickens hatch now. It's Easter. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you.
What are you doing for Easter? Are you doing anything for Easter?
I think so, yeah.
We're going to be talking about real chickens, not just the peep kinds.
No. The marshmallow chickens are an abomination.
And ramps, is that where cars go?
Yeah. But there's other ramps that you can eat.
What, you eat them?
You can eat them.
Even though it's concrete?
Concrete, no.
You can eat?
With an oniony aftertaste. Yeah, they're sweet.
Sweet. So
they're alum.
And where do you find them?
Well, you find them on the sandy banks of rivers. You find them in the forest. You find them outdoors.
Well, it's a beautiful Saturday afternoon. Sun is out. Birds are singing, and we're out foraging for ramps and fiddleheads. It's a little early in the season. The forsythia's out, and we are on the banks of a popular river. We're not going to give you the exact location. You have to find them for yourselves. But I'm with David, 10 years old, my son.
Hi.
And he's going to come with us. This is a very simple thing. And these are delicious spring vegetables you can find in sandy soil on the banks of most rivers. We also have, from former Soviet Union, Lena. Lena, also formerly of the KGB. Here we are. How would you describe the terrain, David?
Well, there's lots of wood that kind of blocks your way. And it's pretty muddy. Like, you can see the footprints of vans and other people who came before.
Composition of the soil? What's it made out of?
Well, mostly sand.
Very sandy soil. But like I said, this is very early in the season, but it's such a beautiful day. The very worst thing that could happen is that we'll have a nice walk. So these are ostrich ferns that we're looking for. There's also bracken ferns that grow around here. And unlike mushroom hunting, you can pretty much guarantee fiddleheads and ramps the same spot every year. Oh, here's more skunk cabbage. Why do we call it skunk cabbage? Because somebody told me it was called skunk cabbage, and I just call it that. Because you can't eat it, I didn't bother anymore with it.
It's amazing that that's the only green that you can see.
Yeah, it is the only green that you can see, but that's also what makes ramp and fiddlehead hunting really pretty easy. It's the only green stuff coming up. And the fiddlehead ferns, you're eating the actual fronds of the fern. So you don't want to pick every single one that you see, otherwise you're going to damage the plant. But they do look like the scrollwork of a fiddle. Aha! More skunk cabbage. Why are we here?
To have a nice walk.
There you go. At the worst thing that can happen is you have a nice walk in the woods. Ramps might also be up, but it doesn't look like that either. Well, we'll keep walking. This time of year, especially after the heavy flooding that we've had, banks of rivers and lightly forested areas along them have the wonderful sort of raked look, as if they've been sort of tended. And as David points out,
there aren't any bugs.
No. In answer to that eternal question, which came first, the ramp or the fiddlehead, I can now answer
the fiddlehead.
The ramp.
Sorry.
David, do you want to describe what a ramp looks like?
Kind of looks like a skunk cabbage.
Colors?
Well, the leaves are green. Right by the stem of the leaves is a little red or maroonish part, purplish, and then a whitish stalk.
And the tubers. This is ramps, if for those of you who don't know. They're wild leeks. And they have a wonderful sort of oniony, garlicky flavor to them. And they're up relatively early. We're going to take a few. You cannot pick them, as Lena is trying to do, because you've got to dig down to get the good stuff and find the bulb, which is why I brought a little trowel. And here, I'll give it to Lena, and she's going to, here, she's, Lena's just proven me wrong and actually pulled one straight out of the ground.
Because the ground is damp.
As she points out,
the ground is damp, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Ramp undercombs?
The ramps, they grow in clumps, so you don't want to take all of the ramps from a patch, somewhat like grass. They grow, they're kind of connected underneath, and you just want to make sure that there's enough to reproduce themselves. But they're up. They generally have two spear-like leaves and with purplish on the bottom. If there's purple on the leaves, you don't want to eat them. That's something, a different variety altogether. I think it's I'll get the name of it before this airs. And look, they're all over now. They're really easy to spot because there's nothing else up except the skunk cabbage. Oh, that's a beauty. Yeah. In keeping with our back to woods theme, I'm going to go rinse this off in the river and we'll have a little snack.
Which part of the ramp do you eat?
Well, that's a very good question, Lena. You eat the whole thing. You want to snap the roots off. They cook at different rates. So if you're going to roast or grill or saute them, you want to separate the leaves from the stalks. And there's lots of sugar in them, and they caramelize wonderfully. You could crisp the leaves and have a little crunchy snack. We're going to go and cook some of these up probably within the next hour, just because we're so excited. That's the sound of harvesting ramps. The bulbs are wonderful. Okay, oh, and here's David back from the river with some cleaned ramps. We're going to take a little bite.
What's that?
That is another skunk cabbage coming up.
Looks like a finger.
Yeah. Oh, here's a nice bunch here. Say, Elena, you've never done this before, have you?
No.
But now that you know what they look like, do you feel confident that you'd be able to harvest them in the future, should you see them?
I think if I'm in the Hudson Valley, absolutely yes. But if I'm in the Central Park in New York, probably not.
And David, any doubt in your mind about what a ramp looks like and your ability to find ramps in the future?
Well, not really, but I would like to have you around, Dad, because you know him better than I do.
How long is the season for the ramps?
Well, like you said, the ramps you can get until May, well into May, depending on where you are, different places, different microclimates push them up at different times. I'm surprised there are no fiddleheads at all, but we are a bit early for them. One of the wonderful things about foraging or mushroom hunting is it really recasts your eye. So when you sort of look at a piece of ground, any glimpse of green at this point, you think, ah, this could be something. And you head towards it, and then you start recognizing the distinctive shapes and patterns of what you're looking for. And then you start noticing buds on trees and how different things come to life after a long winter. Well, I say we probably got about 2 pounds, maybe a little more of ramps at this point. And gosh, it's so nice and it's so fun. We'll probably stay here a little bit longer, but this is more than enough for a good meal. Here's another nice little patch. No, those are skunk cabbage. Here's some ramps.
Damp places?
They grow, yeah, very, very damp. Loose soil, though people have seen them not on riverbanks, which is surprising to me because I've only ever found them really on sort of riverbanks or the sides of rivers. To minimize the amount of dirt to clog up your kitchen sink, we're going to head to the river now and rinse them off in the river as best we can, and then head home and cook some of these.
Yummy!
That's the ramps sauteing to turn the heat down a little bit. Yeah, I'm going to get the mic a little closer. You can smell this.
What kind of wine do you think goes well with the ramps?
Traditionally, it would be a Pinot Grigio. I think sort of a dry, white, crispy white wine, especially on a warm day like today.
How about for kids?
Whiskey. This is the sound of eating ramp leaves. They're crunchy. Mm. Mm. A little bit like leek.
Yeah, so good.
Mm-hmm. Only imagine the tenderest leek greens. That's what you get with ramps. We couldn't even wait to spritz a little lemon on them. Hang on.
Hey, this one?
Yeah.
Here we go. Oh, I have another. These are really good.
What do they taste like to you?
Like potato chips, except crunchier. Very oniony. And sweet.
Now we're sitting down to enjoy the bottoms, the stalks, and the bulbs. We've, as you would brown onions, we cooked them slowly, a little olive oil and butter, and they caramelized. And now we're going to eat them with a little sourdough bread from Otto's Bakery. Oh, not Otto's Bakery, Otto's Grocery Store. I don't remember the name of the bakery. It's good bread. Let's dig in. So, dig in. You're a bit of a foodie, Elena. How would you describe, what would you say the flavor?
You can't compare them to leeks. They're much more delicate.
Hmm. Yeah, they tend
to the bitterness goes away once you cook them in olive oil, once you saute them.
Hmm. I'm always disappointed at how meager it looks once the portions look once you actually cook them. We had a pile. that we cleaned and separated, and really just a snack.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe next time we'll get enough for a feast.
He's really good.
So that was Kevin. Who were you with on that little ramp expedition?
I was with my son, who's 10, and good friend Lena, who will occasionally join me on foraging expeditions. And that was about 3 weeks ago, actually. So I was really surprised to find ramps up at that point. The fiddleheads were nowhere to be seen, though they are up now in abundance.
So for the next bit of the show, we're going to be talking about ramps. We're going to be talking about ramp recipes. And
if you have a recipe or a foraging story, call in. Eager to hear them.
Or questions. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
Questions, we'll try to answer.
You going
to
tell them the phone number?
I'll tell them the phone number.
Tell them the phone number.
It's 518-828-0290.
So the phone lines, we have about 20 phone lines. They're all open. 518. Where's that phone number? 828-0290. We want to talk about ramps. Later in the show, we're going to talk about chickens because it's that time of year. But, you know, if you have a chicken question, you want to sneak it in early. We'd love to entertain that as well. But mostly right now, I want to hear about ramps. Hey, why don't you tell us, where were you guys foraging for ramps? Where was it?
You had all the information that you need to know.
Ooh, so secretive. Yeah.
Well, you don't want to over-harvest an area. You know, you can't trust anybody. There's some very specific rules for harvesting ramps, so you don't decimate the population. They're actually very slow at reproducing. So we'll get a little more details later in the show on what the do's and don'ts of harvesting. So you don't want to share your patch with people you don't trust completely.
Huh, interesting. All right, let's take a little Vic Chestnut.
Sounds
good.
You want
to listen to Vic Chestnut a little bit?
I'd like to listen to Vic Chestnut.
All right, and in the meantime, please do call. The number is 518-828-0290. You're listening to Foraging Ahead on GXC 90.7 FM. This is Hands On Radio out of Hudson, Acre.
Acre.
Awesome. And Cairo.
Cairo.
I am a rough ball of twine. I have a duty to do. I've been tied to the table, but now I am frazzled and aloof.
Degenerate.
Disintegrate the tight knots.
Degenerate.
Rot away the nooses.
Degenerate.
Out come those tangles. Oh, degenerate. Oh,
spring. Regenerate.
washed by weather cycles.
Degenerate.
Bleach the deadly nightshades.
Degenerate.
Prepare to take the.
We're back with you, and we have a caller on the line, I believe. Hang on, where's caller? Are you there?
Hello, yes.
Oh, hello, caller. What's your name?
Hi, it's Greg here.
Hey, Greg. How's it going?
All right. And I'm calling for, if you're in Accra. No, I'm in Akram.
And how do you pronounce that?
Ankrum, A-N-C-R-A-M, the other side of the river from you.
It's we're actually in Hudson, but we have a studio in Accra, so that's why I can pronounce Hudson generally far better than I can pronounce Accra. So hey, do you you have some ramp? You have a ramp recipe to share with us?
Yeah, well, we are going to go foraging this afternoon, actually, in a little spot near us. But I think one of the simplest and juiciest recipes I know for them is just a simple pesto.
Mm.
So, You know, I don't have anything in front of me, but it would be like a couple of cups of tightly packed ramps, and then probably, I don't know, a third a cup of olive oil, quarter cup of Parmesan cheese, small handful of nuts,
and
salt and pepper. Yeah, well, walnuts will work too.
Mm.
And then whisk that up and toss that into some hot, freshly cooked pasta, and you're away.
And how do you prepare? How do you prepare it?
Well, just like that. Oh, sorry, you whiz it in a blender.
Okay, that's the part I missed.
And then,
the whizzing,
yeah.
You missed the whizzing in the blender.
Yeah, I missed the, did you say whizzing the first time?
Yeah.
Oh, I see, sorry about that.
Yeah, whiz it up, the professional term, I think.
And is there anything in particular, what do you like about ramps? Like, what do you think is interesting about the taste of ramps?
Well, I like that they're free, mostly, and...
that seems to be a theme.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, they're good, you know, they're not too overpowering, and... They're tasty and fresh out the ground. I mean, really, that's the major appeal. I think if they were readily available, I don't know if they'd be a regular part of my diet, really.
So
but
the scarcity and the seasonality of it is what's appealing?
In part, yeah, absolutely. With lots of the things you can eat out the woods or by the roadside, you know, they're best fresh and it's like asparagus, you know. If you ever had asparagus out of season, you wonder why anyone would want to eat it, because it's so bland and tasteless because it's come from so far. But when it's fresh out of the vegetable patch or the local farm, then it tastes amazing.
Yeah, there's nothing like eating something that was living only moments before. You could almost hear them scream. Do you do anything particular to when you're harvesting? Are you careful about... you know, the amount that you harvest, or do you just go on a rampage?
You've been waiting to say that.
I have been, yeah.
I think he's been waiting to say that for about 2 weeks.
Well, you know, I guess you want the real answer.
Yeah.
Well, no, you got to be careful. And I actually tried transplanting some last year, and it didn't really work so well. But I just took some bulbs as intact as possible to a patch of, you know, a suitable spot near my house. And but I was interested to hear you, Kevin, say that they're actually quite slow at reproducing. And And I guess it's bulbs. Do they reproduce somewhat like daffodils or crocuses or something?
My understanding is that yes, but also their seeds. You can plant their seeds, and the seeds
really?
Take 6 to 18 months to germinate, which is really long. And then the plants themselves take 5 to 7 years to produce seeds. So when you're harvesting, it's a really good idea just to harvest the older plants, and those are the ones that you see growing in small clumps and that are connected by the rhizomes or the underground stems, you know, when you get them in clumps like that.
I'm a little bit confused, caller Greg. Now, I can tell you all about chicken reproduction now. I've mastered that, but plant reproduction is still a mystery to me. Aren't bulbs and seeds mutually exclusive, or does a seed become a bulb? How does that all work?
Well, there are many different strategies for reproduction.
Well, how does it work in this case? I don't. What's the formative path for these things? Do you know, caller Greg?
I don't know. This is why I'm calling Kevin.
I don't think Kevin knows either. Do you know?
I just gave you the extent of my knowledge. Oh. They seed. You should be able to transplant them, but. From what I understand, most people are successful in growing them from seeds.
Okay, so other callers, we would also love any further information you could share with us about the reproduction of ramps. I would extend that to fiddleheads, although I think I understand fern reproduction well enough. Maybe somebody who's more expert than us might. Fern reproduction is interesting because it's the most primitive form of plant reproduction, not using that word pejoratively. But in any event, our phone number is 518-828-0290 or 518-697-7400. We're taking callers talking about ramps. We'd love to hear your ramp recipes and any information you have for us about ramp reproduction. So, caller Greg, are there anything else you're doing, anything else you're foraging, or anything else you're doing for the spring
any
in terms of food making?
Morels?
Well, not much on the fungi front. We have chickens and ducks, and they laid some funny colored eggs this morning, but no real news on that front either.
Are you saying
because
you were visited by a religious figure? Is that why they laid eggs?
Well, there's a big spring bunny came today.
Nice.
Colored eggs for a little one.
I love it when the bunnies lay eggs.
But I'll talk to you later. But if there are any, I'll try and listen to the radio. If there's any things about chickens, and I feel like I've got something to contribute, I can always call
you back. Give us. Hey, we love hanging out with you, caller Greg. All right, thanks a lot for calling.
Yep.
Yeah. Bye.
Happy hunting.
Yep. Bye.
Was I getting a little stalky? Like I didn't want to let him off the phone or something? He sounded like he kind of wanted to go there at the end.
I don't know. I could listen to a English accent all day.
I know. It's just
even if it is a northern English accent,
sends shivers up my spine. So there's some sort of ramp festival coming up. Is it a rampage as well?
I don't know. It's rampant. people are getting a little rambunctious with the. Puns, I suppose. Ramp Fest, yeah, in Hudson. That'll be next Saturday, April 30th, from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Basilica in Hudson. There'll be some fantastic chefs. I know from Swoon, from the Red Onion, they'll be cooking up their fantastic recipes. And I don't really know. There's a charge, obviously, at the door, and then there's an open bar. But ramps are really, really, really popular now. They've become the hot food item in New York City. And
I see them in the city. I'm down in the city for work sometimes, mm-hmm. and you see them at all the fancy, fine restaurants where you can, go chic green.
They are very chic. And they grow from Quebec all the way down to Georgia.
And they're expensive, too.
In some of the shishier markets, $12 a pound.
Interesting.
Which is kind of a mixed bag, and it's sort of, there's a bit of a quandary, because it's free, involving only your sort of knowledge and labor, but when you start getting into that sort of market economy and supplying restaurants with ramps, I know many people, that's after maple syruping, or other farm work, it's a good source of income. but over-harvesting is a, you know, is becoming actually a problem.
So when these guys serve it in restaurants, they're not cultivating it. They're actually, they're going places and foraging it, or are there places where they're, like Christmas tree farms, do they actually have these places where they attempt to cultivate ramps?
I think they're cultivated. I know they're cultivated,
uh-huh.
but they grow in certain areas in such apparent profusion.
Uh-huh.
That it's just easier to hit the same patch.
So these guys, you're saying the restaurant folks are mostly foraging, or is there some kind of middle people who do that?
I'm sure there's a middle person,
right?
Some of the restaurant people, I'm sure, go out and do it themselves. But it's time consuming. It's time consuming, which is another reason why you just don't want to give out this information. You know exactly where your patch is.
That's why we're not telling people where to go. Essentially,
we're being jerks for a reason.
And if people do go out, what's the rule of thumb? How do they know that they're not? So people, you know, you go on the internet, you look, find out what a ramp looks like. It looks a lot like a scallion or a leek or some other kind of wild onion. And how do they know how many to leave and how many to take?
You don't want to take all of them. You know, uh-huh. In fact, you want to take less than
like
half.
All but one?
They reproduce very slowly. Uh-huh. There are, 10%, which is not a lot, but 10% from a patch, and you don't even want to go back to that patch every year because you stress it. So then if you tell a bunch of people and they tell a bunch of people and it's a fun thing to do, especially with kids, or if you're thinking of maybe trading for a meal at a nice restaurant, and then you take 10%, and somebody else comes and takes 10%, mm-hmm. and their friends take 10%, and then pretty soon that natural resource is gone.
Like everything else.
Yeah, because they're popular and fancy restaurants now.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You got another recipe to share with us right now?
I do. I had to...
And by the way, that number again, 518-828-0290. Just give you your bearings. Again, you're listening to Foraging Ahead. I'm Eric. I'm here with Kevin. This is WGXC, Hands-On Radio.
I was chatting with some friends the other night about recipes, and a good one came up. Also a pesto, you'd use the leaves, and depending on how strong you want it, you can throw in some of the bulbs,
mm-hmm.
but also to add some mint.
Ooh, nice.
And pine nuts.
Ooh.
And no cheese, olive oil.
Caller
obviously.
Greg's recipe had pine nuts too.
Pine nuts or walnuts? He had. Pine nuts or walnuts. But the mint really adds a real fabulous flavor, and a little bit of lemon,
uh-huh.
Salt and pepper, obviously, and
salt and pepper.
You have sort of a ramp mint chutney kind of thing, which would go good with lamb. If only there was a holiday that people would serve lamb in the spring.
Uh-huh. Ooh, it's a call. Okay, let's just try it. Oh, no. I accidentally hung up on caller. All right, we're going to go to some music and caller. Wait, caller, did I not accidentally hang up on you? Caller, are you there? Caller?
Hi.
Hi, caller. What's your name, caller?
My name's Mara.
Hi, Mara. How's it going? Where are you calling us from?
I'm calling you from Tivoli.
Awesome. You got a ramp recipe?
Yeah, actually, I think I just heard Kevin talking about my ramp recipe.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I just...
On the radio.
Yeah.
So that's a really good one, Kevin. Did you end up telling them what to put that on?
I did. I suggested lamb, and we were trying to think of a holiday around springtime that lamb would be served.
Okay.
But we're we're not of that persuasion, so we're having a tough time coming up with.
You have any others, or are you pretty much ramp bankrupt, which is almost a pun? Are you ramp bankrupt after that, caller Mara, or do you have something else?
No, I got one more.
All right, share.
The other one I made the other day that I thought was pretty tasty was ramps and cilantro, and lime juice and sea salt and a little bit of oil as well. And that was sort of I put it on quesadillas. You could put it with black beans. You could put that on burgers too, I was thinking. And that one was a little different than the mint pine nut one, and I thought it came out pretty well.
Wait, so say the ingredients again?
Just the ramp leaves and then cilantro. A lot of cilantro.
Just chopped, everything chopped?
Yeah, just put it in the, whiz it up in the blender.
Yeah. Paula Gregg did that, too. That's a good idea.
With a lot of lime juice instead of lemon. Mm. And, you know, it sort of had a little Mexican flavor to it. And, you know, you could use it with various things. Eggs, I bet that one would be good on eggs.
Sounds great.
So the theme here seems to be a little citrus, a green, like another green. What does the citrus do with the lemon lime? It's just like the sour acidity. It's just nice with the... Mm-hmm. No, it's good.
Now, Mara, we went out hunting at an undisclosed location, and you showed me some ramps, and I was surprised to see it, mostly because I don't know very much. Ramps in the forest. And and they were very different from the ones that I was accustomed to, which were the ones with the, you know, the two sort of spear-like leaves and the stalk with the purple sheath. Yours were very different, and you actually have been finding them quite a bit. Do you want to tell a little bit about that?
Sure. Near as I can tell, they still look like the ramps that you guys have been talking about, but they're missing the purple, which is a real identifying characteristic. And when I first showed my patch to Kevin, he was suspect. He thought they were suspect. but I've been collecting there for a couple of years, and since then I found a couple of other patches this spring with other friends. And they're exactly the same, and they taste the same, but they're missing the purple bit.
But they do taste the same.
They do taste the same, and I looked some of this up online, and there just seems to be a couple different varieties, and there are some varieties without the purple for whatever reason.
Do you guys ever get into feuds? Do other ramp foragers show up and you're like, this is my land? Or like the landlords chase you away? Does that ever happen?
That has happened to a friend of ours. But if he calls in, maybe we'll let him tell that story.
Let's back up for a moment. What is there an etiquette around this? What happens? So Mara and Kevin, let's pretend, obviously you guys know each other. Let's pretend you guys don't know each other. And you guys are on the same trail, hunting the same ramps. It's like the classic, you know, cartoon setup where you're walking from opposite directions, heads to the ground. You bump into one another. What is the etiquette in this situation?
Well, I outweigh Mara probably about 100 pounds, so.
So there is no etiquette?
No, it's,
Do you share? Do you offer tips? Would you share your secret locations with that person, or would you treat them as the enemy?
Well, if they're in my secret location, it's
then,
not a secret location.
Yeah, if we're both standing there, then there's not much we can do at that point, but have a discussion about how to proceed. But
honesty is
the
best policy.
If I was heading towards my secret location, I saw somebody else, I would veer away.
Okay, that's what I want to know. Mm-hmm. This is what I want to know.
And and then start chewing bark off trees.
And then from the other side, if I want to find your secret location, what are some of the telltale signs of the ramp hunter from afar? How do I distinguish the casual hiker from the educated ramp hunter?
Furtive glances? I don't know. I don't know.
We're not on a trail.
Yeah. We're not on a trail. We're off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Off.
Okay.
Is someone standing in the middle of the woods with a bag and a trowel? Generally, that's unless they're planting something.
All right, we're mastering the obvious here. Hey, it's 20 minutes to 12. Just want to tell folks what time it is, since I apparently do not know. This is Foraging Ahead. We have caller Mara online, and we're talking about mostly about ramps, and if people have any chicken questions, we'll just mostly leave that up to the audience. We're happy to answer those and talk about those, too, since it is that time of the year. I'm brooding new chicks even as we speak. The number here is 518-828-0290. Anything else you want to share with us, caller Mara?
No, that's good. I actually want to hear some more about chickens, so I'm going to hang up now, and hopefully you guys can get to that.
All right, so we're going to play a little music, then when we come back, we'll talk chicken.
Thanks for calling.
Yep, bye-bye.
Hey!
518-828-0290. Give us a buzz. Let's talk about ramps and chickens.
I saw a cock-a-doodle-dot in the garden, sitting on a sycamore leaf and singing cock-a-doodle-doo. I threw my little yellow shoe, he started singing cock-a-doodle-dum ba dum ba dum ba dum ba dum dum.
1, 2, 3.
I saw a big tomato sandwich in the kitchen, sitting on a housemaid's knee and singing cock-a-doodle-doo. I threw my little yellow shoe, it started singing cock-a-doodle-dum ba dum ba dum ba dum ba dum dum.
1, 2, 3.
I saw Santa in the chimney, sitting on a pile of soot and singing cock-a-doodle-doo. I threw my little yellow shoe, he started singing cock-a-doodle-dum ba dum ba dum ba dum ba dum dum.
1, 2, 3.
I saw an elephant at the bus stop, leaning on a young man's leg and singing cock-a-doodle-doo. I threw my little yellow shoe, he started singing cock-a-doodle-dum ba dum ba dum ba dum ba dum dum.
1, 2, 3.
I saw my granny at the pictures, biting all the buttons off the seats and singing cock-a-doodle-doo. I threw my little yellow shoe, she started singing cock-a-doodle-dum ba dum ba dum ba dum ba dum dum. I saw the cobbler in the shoe shop, mending lots of little leather shoes and singing cock-a-doodle-doo. I threw my little yellow shoe, he started singing cock-a-doodle-dum ba dum ba dum ba dum ba dum dum. 1, 2, 3.
All right, and we're back. This is Foraging Ahead.
Great song. What was that song?
That was Cock-a-Doodle-Don't, and that's Ivor Cutler, who's one of my personal heroes. He played the bus driver in the Beatles movie Help. I think it was Help where they had the bus driver. Sort of obscure Scottish Jewish poet, eccentric musician. That actually came from a record called Ludo that was from 1967, produced by George Martin, the producer of the Beatles.
Oh.
Really one of my faves.
And a nice segue into the chicken segment of the show.
Here we are.
But before we get to the chicken segment.
Sidetrack. Yeah, go on.
I would like to mention a terrific New York Times article on ramps by Jennifer May that came out April 19th. I think they do ramp articles, you know, once a year about this time, extolling the virtues mm-hmm. and excitement around this vegetable. It's worth a good read.
And what was particularly interesting about that article?
It was very well written.
Okay, it's always good.
And it was full of information, and it let people know that this is a renewable resource if it's managed carefully and correctly, to sort of temper their enthusiasm mm-hmm. for this.
They do that well.
You know, with the respect for the environment, because people think they're, you know, getting back to nature when in fact you're just sort of like
they're getting back to nature and pillaging it. Yeah.
yeah. So maybe the next craze could be onion grass, or, you know, things that we want to mm-hmm. get rid of. Dandelions, they were popular. They're less popular now.
So chickens. So this is the one time a year that I know of that you can actually drive to a store, to several stores in the area, and walk in and walk out with chickens. And you can walk out with chickens, and then in a few months you can have your own eggs.
Chicks. You can buy chicks.
You can buy chicks. Well, chicks are small chickens. Yes, but you're right. You're technically correct. So how'd you get started doing chickens, eggs?
I'm always interested in where food came from, and growing up on Long Island, I just assumed food came from the supermarket wrapped in plastic and styrofoam. And this was back when Westchester was upstate and mm-hmm. Had farms and whatnot. And when I moved up here, I just thought, well, you know, I got some land and I want to show my kid where actual food comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got some chicks at our local Agway.
Uh-huh.
And it's one of those fun projects. You start with your kids and you wind up taking over completely by yourself.
So I got my chicks in the mail this year, which I have to say mm-hmm. was, so this was the second year we had chickens. Last year was nice. We got given chickens and we got suckered on the chickens. We got given three hens, which turned out to be three roosters, which was very not fun. But this year we ordered six chicks. We got some of the chicks that lay blue and green eggs, and they came in the mail. And I'm having a hard time really expressing my love and devotion for the U.S. Postal Service right now, but there was something really exciting when the package came into the post office. The postmaster called us, ran down with the kids. We got the box full of chickens. And actually, I had never had... So it's actually... It really made me think about the wonder and magic of the egg. So here's this chicken. It eats some crappy feed. It eats your waste food. And it lays this egg. And you eat this egg every day or every other day or whatever. And you think it's a good protein source. It's really tasty. It's really bright. It's really yellow. But then to really think about, not only does this egg have all of the material needed to make a complete bird, right? It's not like in the human body, when humans give birth, there's a placenta. The fetus is attached to the mother, right? No, seriously. In birds, the fetus is not attached to the mother. So this egg actually not only sustains this fetus up until it's hatched, but these chicks come out and they can survive for about 2 days without food or water, so we can ship them through the mail to people. And
wow, we should revere them and not eat them.
that may well be true. So maybe we're doing the wrong thing, but it's been really exciting. It's also it's felt a lot less fragile this year. The second time doing it, last year when we raised the baby chicks, it just felt like I actually almost did kill them. But
chickens are actually very, very easy.
They are.
If you check with your local town village ordinances. Most will make allowances for having a small backyard flock. Without a rooster, you're more likely to get the okay. Roosters are noisy. They do crow at dawn,
mm-hmm.
And often throughout
Tell me
the
about
day.
It. Yeah.
But they'll take care of a lot of bugs in your yard. The ticks, they eat just about anything. They'll try anything.
Yep.
They will eat the insulation off your house.
Yep. No, actually, they don't do that. They don't. They're not so bad with us. With us like that.
Well, we had particularly tasty insulation.
Huh, that's good. Yeah. You guys must have been using something. Yeah, something really nice. Interesting. Yeah, last year I almost. So, it is really easy. And one of the things that I really like about, you know, also having grown up in the city, honestly, vegetables scare me. I feel like the vegetables don't really communicate with me enough. Whereas with birds and with other, I don't want to say living things, but with more of the animal
birds
order.
Would fall under living
they,
things.
They communicate very easily. And, you know, last year I had it all set up with the thermometer and the heat lamp. And first thing, I literally almost cooked these birds by overheating them.
Just a little early. Eventually that's where they're going to end up. But
within moments, because they tell you, you know, make the thermometer be 99.5 degrees, but they don't tell you exactly where you should put the thermometer, have it be 99.5 degrees. And before I know it, I have these birds, and they're just fainting. So this year, no thermometer. Mm. Just have the heat lamp, have the birds in the little tub, and I just watch them. And you can just see that, you know, when they're thriving and when they're not. And they pretty much take care of themselves, like you said. We get compost from them.
They don't need a whole lot of human interference. If you have kids or even if you don't have kids, they're remarkably entertaining and educational because you realize that there is a collective intelligence to a flock of chickens. Individually, chickens kind of are idiots. But collectively, there seems to be a group intelligence, kind of like the opposite of humans.
They're sweet. Yeah. The rooster takes care of them, like corrals them. If there are predators overhead, kind of gets them in the coop. And we have three hens, and we generally get 2 to 3 eggs a day from them. We also have one female guinea fowl. We get eggs from the guinea fowl, eat the eggs, and it's delicious. The kids love them. We love them. Yeah. Keeps us fed.
There's nothing like fresh. Super, super fresh eggs. Yeah. A friend of mine once came up from Brooklyn. It was a big foodie, and him and his wife, and I went out and cooked up a couple of eggs, just fried them in butter, and he started flipping out. Oh, my God, these are the best eggs ever. What did you do? How did you cook them? And I said, dude, I just cooked them in butter. You see, this is eggs. This is what eggs taste like. This is what food tastes like. And that's... kind of the idea behind, I think, much of the show eventually is this is what real food tastes like.
Hey, so this is about your last chance for calls. It's 518-828-0290. This is Foraging Ahead. I'm Eric Fixler here with Kevin Factor. We'll be back in a month. We're here on the fourth Sunday of every month talking about DIY agriculture, things you can do. Want to thank you for listening. Thank our callers. Caller Mara. Who was our other caller? Caller Greg.
And caller Greg.
And to all you other finks who didn't call, thanks anyway. Hope you call next time. Pox on your houses. And, you know, we hope you spend this is the perfect month to be out doing stuff. And, you know, people have been doing this stuff for thousands of years. Some of them were much smarter than us. Some of them were much smarter than you, but most of them weren't. So little effort, little willingness to fail. I just started Bees Up, and I'm pretty sure they're going to fail. But, you know, it's fine. You do it again, you learn. Any closing thoughts for the people, Mr. K?
Oh, get out, walk around, see what's coming up.
All right, so we're gonna leave you out with a little music, and have a great week.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Like sand through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
Take that up. That's my shame.
Talk shit at this part? About how, like, the world didn't see it coming.
It's my shame.
Like, it was this fresh, right?
You didn't know.
We're not joking, just joking. We are joking, just joking. We're not joking. We're not joking, just joking. We are joking, just joking. We're not joking. We're not joking, just joking. We are joking, just joking. We're not joking. We're not joking, just joking. We are joking, just joking. We're not joking.
I'm so wild, they call me Four Loko. So local, where they do it for cocoa. Puff like cocoa till I'm crisp like cocoa. Bonobo, iced tea plus cocoa. Sunoco flow, no Pinocchio. No BP, just beat me, meet me where I beat. Beats drop street heat. I'm on the block like street meat. Call me Dwight Schrute, the way that I eat beats. No beat farm, just farm beats, smart me. A motherfucker try to harm me. Yeah? I scrap happily, smack a little scrappy type dude for free, not for a fee. I rock for a tea, maybe just a cup of tea. Had enough of me, I'm just beginning. Finna be a minute for the fat lady singing. I'm swimming, I'm crazy, I'm wavy pipeline. Rappers lack flow, now they're trying to bite mine. Need like three lifelines, three whites, three lines of Ico White. A night to get hype. Three types of nikes, my floor sides is spike, my floor shines is tight, your punchlines is light. The days of our lives, plus the nights. Catch me on the corner, drunk and puking, crazy stupid, Sammy and Lucas.
As a reference to the soap opera, Days of Our Lives, even though I was a bigger General Hospital fan growing up.
We're not joking, just joking, we are joking, just joking, we're not joking. We're not joking, just joking, we are joking, just joking, we're not joking. We're not joking, just joking, we are joking, just joking, we're not joking. We're not joking, just joking, we are joking, just joking, we're not joking.
Yeah, see, quit smiling and shut your silly traps. These zooted brown weirdos is wildin', but they could really rap. They saw the cover of the tape, figured it's pretty whack. Later on, eventually admitted that it's pretty cracked. Snatched the beer can out your hand, like, give me that. I'm all up in the freezer at your crib, like, where your gym be at? Couple W's in the swish, Dougie, spin me that. Titty fat, Jimmy hat, give me that. Similac, chug it, cut it, print it. I think it's finished, but really black. Run it back, tell me if you're feeling that. Wait a minute, like Ray J. My work is my play play. Every day, payday. Meet me at the mall, it's going down. Mayday. Get it? Joke's not the mall, the Maysays. Joke's not Maysays for JJ's. Hey.